We're on Daf Mem Aleph Amud Aleph. At the bottom, towards the bottom of the Amud, we'll count up 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 lines up from the bottom. Amar Rav Yosef. So let's just review. We had the statement of Ula, and Ula says that we paskin like Rav Yossi, which is called Mashlim Taniso. He started his fast on Friday, and he's allowed to continue into Shabbos. He doesn't have to be mafsik and eat before Shabbos, so he's going to fast into Shabbos. So Ula paskin like Rav Yosef. So Rav Yosef says, Lo shmia li hashmaitita. I never heard this statement of Ula that we paskin like Rav Yosef. Now keep in mind that Rav Yosef was someone who suffered from a form of choli, we call it amnesia perhaps, and his great disciple was Abaye. And throughout Shas, Abaye always tries to jolt Rav Yosef's memory and remind him of what he had said in the past and taught and forgotten. At Amrit Neil, you were the one, you yourself, who told us that we paskin like Rav Yossi, that he's mashlim his tainis on Shabbos, entering into Shabbos, right? The Aha Amrit Nilan, and in the context of a Mishnah in tainis, in Masechta tainis, you taught us that we paskin like Rav Yossi. The Mishnah in tainis says, Ein gozer in tainis al tzibu barashi chadashim b'chanuk b'purim, v'yem eschilu ein mafsikin. Divrei Rabbi Gamliel said that although Bezdin, in a case where there's a lack of rain or there's some sort of other catastrophe, chas v'sholem, they should be careful not to establish a fast day on Rosh Chodesh or Chanukah or Purim, but if they went ahead and did so, for whatever reason, and they calculated such that within the Seder of Tainios for the Geshamim, they will fast on Chanukah Purim or Rosh Chodesh, then Ein Mafsik. They'll actually fast the entire day on a Chanukah Purim or Rosh Chodesh. As we said yesterday, there's a big Chiddush in Purim, because although all these 3 days have one common denominator of an Isur Tainis, in Purim it's more than just an Isur Tainis, it's a Mitzvah Achila. It's a Yom Mishte and Suda. But nevertheless, Rabbi Gamliel in the Mishnah Tainis says that although Ein Gozrin, but a Mischilu Ein Mafsikin. Rabbi Meir, as we learned yesterday, qualifies this halacha of Rabbi Gamliel, and he insists that even though Rabbi Gamliel says Ein Mafsikin, but nevertheless he's Moda that Ein Mashlim, that what we will fast on these days of Chanukah, Purim, and Rosh Chodesh, but we will not complete the fast. We will make sure that some part of the day we will eat. And as we discussed yesterday, it means that the day will not be a Yom Tainis, because you aren't mashlim the Tainis, it'll only be Tainis Shos. And the same law applies to Tisha B'Av on an Erev Shabbos. We will not be mashlim and continue fasting on Erev Tisha B'Av, on Erev Shabbos, into Shabbos itself, but rather we will break our fast before nightfall. The Amrit Allah and you, Rav Yosef, in this context, told us, Omer Rav Yehuda Marav, Zodiri Rabbi Meir, Sha'omer Mishum Rav Gamliel. Although this is the interpretation of Rabbi Yehuda in the name of Shmuel, I'm sorry, let me start again. You told us in the name of Rabbi Yehuda Merav that although this is the interpretation of Rabbi Gamliel, based on Rabbi Meir, Amal Chachamim Omrim Mis'ana U'mashlim. The Chachamim rejected the position of Rabbi Gamliel that we have to break our fast before entering into Shabbos. The Chachamim say, no, we will continue fasting into Shabbos. My love, Akulu. shouldn't we assume that this statement of the Chachamim, which you, Rav Yosef, quoted in the name of Rabbi Yehuda and Rav, would apply to all these cases that were mentioned by Rabbi Meir in the name of Rav Gamliel? Rabbi Meir in the name of Rav Gamliel said, Eino Mashlim, whether it be Rosh Chodesh, Chanukah, Purim, or whether it be on Erev Shabbos. And with regard to all of these, Rav made the comment that the Chachamim disagree, and they hold that Mis'ana u'mashlim. So from the fact that Rav is basically quoting in the name of the Chachamim the Shita of Rabbi Yossi, it must mean that we paskin like Rabbi Yossi. Do you follow? As long as it's only Rabbi Yossi who says mashlim, and we have the statement of Ula that we paskin like Rabbi Yossi, so you might assume that that's a Das Yochid, that's a dissenting view, but the Chachamim themselves never accepted it. But now that Rav tells us that the Chachamim hold Mis'ana u'mashlim, it means that who are the Chachamim? They are Rabbi Yossi. I don't mean that literally, but I mean to say the Chachamim embrace the Shita of Rabbi Yossi. Therefore, Rabbi Yossi's Shita of Mashlim, Mis'ana u'mashlim, is not a Das Yochid, but rather reflects the Shita of the Chachamim. And we should derive from that that the halacha is like the Chachamim, and it's Mis'ana u'mashlim. Now again, Rabbi Yossi, we have to keep in mind that the Gemara now is equating Chanukah, Purim, and Rosh Chodesh on the one hand with Tisha B'Av on the other hand. Meaning that when the Chachamim say Mashlim, they mean not only in the cases of Chanukah, Purim, Rosh Chodesh, but even in the case of Shabbos, right? Because when we talk about Tisha B'Av, we're talking about Tisha B'Av on a Friday. And if Mis'ana u'mashlim, as it applies to Chanukah, Purim, Rosh Chodesh, applies to Tisha B'Av, it means that we can even fast on Shabbos. And that's a little bit of a leap of faith, if you follow. It's one thing to say that we can encroach on Chanukah, Purim, and Rosh Chodesh. Those are all Isurei Tainis, but they're all Drabbanon. If you're going to expand that law of Mashlim Taniso to apply to Tisha B'Av on an Erev Shabbos, then you are encroaching on an Isur Tainis Do'oraisa, because we've said that Shabbos with its Karasa Shabbos Oneg generates an Isur Tainis Do'oraisa. So that when Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav identifies the Chachamim as those who reject Rabbi Gamliel, keep in mind that Rabbi Gamliel was talking about fasting on Chanukah, Purim, and Rosh Chodesh. He was not addressing the case of fasting on Shabbos when Tisha B'Av falls on a Friday. And therefore, we don't necessarily, again, if I want to be argumentative about this, we don't have to assume that the Chachamim of Rav are Rabbi Yossi, are the same as Rabbi Yossi, meaning in opinion. Rabbi Yossi says that on Erev Tisha B'Av Shechalios, that on Tisha B'Av Shechalios B'Erev Shabbos is Mis'ana u'mashlim, and we're going to require of him to fast on Shabbos for the sake of Tisha B'Av. That's not really what the Chachamim are saying over here. The Chachamim are saying that because of the mitzvah of Tainis, like for example in a Tainis Geshomim Exeris Tainis, we're going to forfeit, or shall we say trump, the Isur Tainis on Chanukah, Purim, Rosh Chodesh. Nowhere, no how, do the Chachamim go that step further and say that for the sake of Tainis we're going to forfeit and violate and trump the Isur Tainis on Shabbos, which is D'oraisa, which is Rabbi Yossi's view. We don't know, we can't pin down the Chachamim to accept Rabbi Yossi. And that's what I believe is the Gemara's rejection here. The Gemara says that don't prove anything from Rav as far as identifying the Chachamim with Reb Yossi in the case of Tisha B'Av on Erev Shabbos. Lo. When did the Chachamim disagree with Rabbi Meir, who is interpreting Rabbi Gamaliel? That's only Achanaku Purim. I don't know why he doesn't mention Rosh Chodesh, but Chanaku Purim. Chanaku Purim, Rabbi Gamaliel said, Eino Mashlim, that be in deference, in respect for the Kiyum of Chanaku Purim, we have to break our fast. And at some point, we have to convert the Titus of the Tzibur on Chanukah and Purim to a Tainus Shos. It should not be a Yom Tainus. And in that context, Rav made the statement that the Chachamim disagree and they hold Mashlim. And for the sake of fulfilling the mitzvah of Tainus in its complete form, making the day into a Yom Tainus, we're going to completely ignore Chanukah and Purim. And there will be no eating at all on Chanukah and Purim. It will be a complete day of Tainus. But with regard to Tainus on Erev Shabbos, that far the Chacham wouldn't go. They would accept and concede to the position of Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Meir that we cannot encroach upon Shabbos with a Tainus when the Torah says, V'karasil Shabbos One. So that basically, what's going on over here is that Rav Yosef said, I never heard that Ula paskins like Rav Yosef. Abai turns around and said, well, Rav Yosef, you yourself taught us that we have to paskin like Rav Yosef. And now the Gemara is rejecting that. Rav Yosef only brought to our attention and transmitted the words of Rav Yud in the name of Rav that the Chachomim disagree with Rav Gamaliel and Rabbi Meir. But that disagreement was limited in scope to the cases of Chanukah and Purim. So don't tell me, Abaye, that Rabbi Yosef already taught us what we know from Ula, that Allah is like Rabbi Yossi in the case of Erev Tisha B'Av Shechalios, Erev Shabbos, and we're going to continue our fast and be Mashlim Taniso on Shabbos. That far Rav didn't go. So again, just to summarize, what the Gemara is now deflecting is that Rav did not identify the Chachamim and Rabbi Yossi. These Chachamim are the Chachamim who disagree with Rabbi Gamliel / Rabbi Meir in the cases of Chanukah and Purim, but they nevertheless did not embrace the Shita, the extreme Shita of Rabbi Yossi, that we should apply the principle of Mashlim Taniso even on Shabbos. That's already a Doraisa. Hachinami Mistabra, the Gemara explains what the difference is between Chanukah and Purim on the one hand, where the Chachamim say that he should be Mashlim his Tainus, and the case of Shabbos. And here we're turning to Daf Mem Aleph Amid Beis. To Isal Kedaitach. If you're going to tell me, Akulu, that we should interpret Rabbi Yehuda in the name of Rav in terms of the Chachamim Akulu, which means that on all the cases, even in the case of Erev Shabbos, where Rabbi Meir insisted that you would have to be mafsik your fast, and the Chachamim now say Rav would disagree and they should say no, continue fasting, then haboy minei Rav mi Rabbi Yehuda. Remember the Gemara that we learned already, this was 2 days ago, back on Daf Mem, that the Gemara transmitted a question between Rava and Rabbi Yehuda about the case of Hashlomas Tainus, a Tainus of Erev Shabbos on Shabbos, and Rabbi Yehuda had no answer to this question. Now, if Rabbi Yehuda himself is quoting Rav as saying that the Chachamim hold like Rabbi Yossi, that we're mashlim a Tainus of Erev Shabbos on Shabbos, then he should have given a straightforward answer to Rav when Rav asked this question. Obviously, therefore, the Chachamim of Rabbi Yehuda and Rav are talking not about Erev Shabbos, they're talking about Chanukah and Purim. So the Gemara rejects this. The Gemara says, Ulitaimeich, and even according to you, that you interpret that the Chachamim here are only arguing about Chanukah and Purim. And there, in those two cases, they say Mashlim. But not in the case of Shabbos. Hodidorish Mar Zutra Mishmeid Rav Huna. There was a teaching of Rav Mar Zutra in the name of Rav Huna, Shalocha Misanim Misanu Mashlim. Now, wait a second. Rava, not only did he ask this question to Rav Yehuda, but when he didn't get an answer from Rav Yehuda, he asked this question to Rav Huna. And her boy, Minei Rabba Mi Rav Huna, Velo Poshet Le, Rav Huna did not get an answer, offer an answer to Rabba. Why didn't he offer an answer if Rav Huna himself said, Alocha Misanu Mashlin? Do you follow? So, you know, the original question was about Shabbos. There was a Titus on Erev Shabbos. And Rabba approached both Rav Yehuda and Rav Huna with this question about a Titus on Erev Shabbos, whether it should continue into Shabbos or not. And both Rav Yehuda and Rav Huna drew a blank. They didn't give an answer to this question. But now, we're quoting Rav Huna as telling us that Halacha Misanu Mashlim. So why didn't he give that answer to Rav Huna? So the answer is going to be Elohad Demakami Deshama Ha Lebasa Deshama. When Rabba asked this question to Rav Huna, he had not heard the statement of Rav that Chachamim reject Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Meir, and they hold Misanu Mashlim. That's why he couldn't give an answer to this question that Rabba was posing. Enochinami, once Rav Huna heard the words of Rav, that the Halach is like Chachamim, which is something that was taught by Mar Zutra in the name of Rav Huna, then Enochinami, he would have certainly given an answer to Rav that Misanu Mashlim. Is Hochinami, so too in the case of Rav Yehuda, will interpret the same thing, that when Rav Yehuda drew a blank and he couldn't give an answer to Rav about whether Misanu Mashlim on Erev Shabbos, Homakami the Shama, that was before he had heard the statement of Rav, Holabasa the Shama, but once he heard the statement of Rav, then he would have certainly given a clear answer that the Chachamim accepted the opinion of Rav Yossi of Misanu Mashlim, even in the case of Erev Shabbos. But once he had heard Rav's statement, then Enochinami, the halacha would be Misane Umashlim. Darf Majzutra Mishmeid Rav Huna Halacha Misane Umashlim. And that's exactly our minog, that we fast on Tisha B'Av. Actually, it's not negated Tisha B'Av, because we don't have a Tisha B'Av on a Friday, but we have Asar B'Teves on a Friday. And in such a case, we're going to fast on Friday, and we're not going to break our fast before Shabbos. And we're going to continue fasting on Shabbos. Now, I just want to add that we had a Tosfos yesterday, we mentioned, that he understood that when it means Misanu Mashlim, it means he's allowed to be Mashlim, but he's not chayav to be Mashlim. But we have to know that the Rishonim reject this. And the Ritva, and before the Ritva already, the Rashba, they say that the Pashtus, the Sugya's Mashma, that he's chayav lahashlim. The Rush actually paskins like Tosfos, Imratza Yochel lahashlim. But he, the Rush, makes a difference between a Tainus Yochid and a Tainus Tzibur. That in a Tainus Yochid he's given the option of breaking his fast, but in a Tainus Tzibur he has to continue even into Shabbos. Now, if you take a look at this Tosfos, Divrei Maskil Vehilchos, so that we referred to yesterday, you'll see in small print another part of this Tosfos, which is the Marshal in the name of the Tosfos Shatz. The history is interesting because the Marshal lived 5 centuries ago, and we rely on the Marshal for the transmission of the Baliat Tosfos, that we don't have any other source other than the Marshal, and this is one of the Baliat Tosfos, the Tosfos Shatz. Umori Omar li b'shem Rav Rav Yedidya, diafil Rav Yosi, lo polig ella diyochel lahashlim. So that's the tradition of Tosus that we have, which the Tosus Shantz attributes to Rabbeinu Yedidya. However, miu gam Rav Yosi modeh. Yeah, okay, fine. So that's fine. So if he doesn't want to be mashlim, he doesn't have to be mashlim. He has a reshus, he has two choices. Whereas Rav Yehuda is of the opinion that osu lahashlim. The ein nira li mida amar Rav Yosi iata modili b'tishav of shechalios b'echad b'shabbos shu maschil mibodyon. Rav Yosi himself had a proof which he raised as a kasha against his bar plugt, against the chachamim, from the case of Tisha B'Av on Sunday. And on Tisha B'Av on Sunday, we have a problem of starting the fast with the Suda Mafsekes on Erev Tisha B'Av, because in this case, Erev Tisha B'Av is on Shabbos. And the Chachamim agreed to Rabbi Yossi that on Erev Shabbos, on Erev Tisha B'Av, which is on Shabbos, when Tisha B'Av is on Sunday, is he eats Kesudash Shlomo HaMelech B'Shaito. He will not fast on Shabbos. And this was the basis for Rabbi Yossi to prove that if he was fasting on a Tisha B'Av on Erev Shabbos, that he would be allowed to just one second. I'm sorry. Forget about Suda Shlomo Melch B'Shaita. That's just going to confuse you and me. What we're talking about is that at some point on Erev Shabbos, he's going to have to start his fast. So we're talking about a case where Tisha B'Av is on Sunday, and he will begin his fasting on Shabbos, Mibodyo. Again, whether he eats a Suda Mafsekes, that's a machlokus. But as far as stopping and terminating his achil of Shabbos and beginning his fast, everybody agrees, no one questions, that he's going to have to terminate, terminate his achila, or shall I say it in a more positive way, commence his fast on Shabbos. So Rabbi Yossi says, you see that there is fasting on Shabbos for the sake of the mitzvah of Tainis Tisha B'Av. So then the reverse is also true, that if he's fasting on Friday, then for the sake of the mitzvah of Tainis, he's going to fast on Shabbos. And he's not going to terminate his fast on Erev Shabbos. That was Rabbi Yossi's argument against the Chacham. And again, we could go into the Chacham's answer. We did that, we discussed that at great length, whether it's Ma'una, whether it's a Shein Titus, and we had the whole discussion. So says the Tosus Shans, Hossam, in the case where he starts his fast on Shabbos because Tisha B'Av is on a Sunday, Al Korcha Chayav Ka'omar. He's obligated to start his fast on Erev Tisha B'Av, which is on Shabbos. Dunya Dahachi. And that's going to be, by equation, the same halacha here on Tisha B'Av and Erev Shabbos. He's going to have to continue his fast. And therefore, Al Korcha, we have no choice but to see that Chayiv Lahashlim Koma, that Rabbi Yossi requires that we continue the fast of Erev Shabbos. Of Erev Shabbos, Tisha B'Av, Erev Shabbos, into Shabbos. So from this equation, we have the right to derive the conclusion, not like Tosus, that Rabbi Yossi means Rotza Lahashlim Yashlim, but rather it's an obligation to be mashlim. That's number one. Now, what else did I want to show you here that I found? One second, let's see. Now, if you turn back to Daf Mem Amid Beis, Tosus Dibra Maskel Dilma. So we have another statement of the Marshal quoting the Tosus Shans. Maisa Hoya Bibris Mila Rabbi Yaakov bar Yochar, Shechal Asara B'Av, B'Aleph B'Shabbos. Okay, so we have Tisha B'Av on Shabbos, which is pushed off to Sunday, and now there was a bris. V'hu hoya Av Bezdin, so that Rabbi Yaakov bar Yochar was the head honcho there, he was the final posek. V'tziva Lispalel Mincha Gedola, you know, as he pushed off the Mila until the afternoon of Tisha B'Av, which is now the Asiri B'Av, it's a Nidche. V'rachatzu v'achlu, and they bathed or showered and they ate on Tisha B'Av. Again, it's Asiri B'Av. Why? Mipnei sheyontiv shalahem hayim. That for the Balei HaBris, it's a yontif. You know, I was thinking, to say that a bris is a yontif, you'll laugh at me, but I would say it's totally in whether you're in Eretz Yisrael or in Chutz Lartz, right? The Ramah paskins that we don't say shechiyanu at a bris. We cannot be happy at a bris. Right, Simcha generates Shechiyanu, but it's not a yontiv with Simcha because of the tzar diyinuka, the baby is crying. The Rashba paskins that we are the Simcha, we do recite Shechiyanu, and the Rashba's view was accepted here in Eretz Yisrael. You're all aware of this. I mean, if you go to a bris in Chutz Lartz, there's no Shechiyanu. Here in Eretz Yisrael, there's always a Shechiyanu. So I thought that this assumption of Rabbi Yaakov or of Yochar that Mila is a day of Yontif might depend upon the Ramah and the Minig in Chutz Lartz as opposed to the Rashba and whether we recite Shechiyanu or the Bris. But in any event, I don't think that's correct. I think even the Ramah would agree that the Mila is a Yontif, but we cannot recite Shechiyanu. So he says that because of the status of Yontif, Kirichsiv Sosa Nochi Amarasecha, and the Pasuk is interpreted by Chazal to referring to Bris Mila. So there's a special Simcha with Bris Mila. Oh, he says, my Svara, Mishum Tzara D'Inuka. That's already a separate problem in Shechiyanu. But fundamentally, it's Sas Anochi and Rasecha, it's a Yontiv, and we can eat and break our fast. But he wants to get at least the morning in and fasting, and then in the afternoon, after Mincha, it's no longer Tisha B'Av, it's now a Yont for the Balei HaBris. So I think in Shulchan Aruch, if I remember correctly, this is going to be a big to-do, and there are different minhagim, and those who have the minhag to break their fast on Tisha B'Av because of the Bris, they will do so, and it's a pretty widespread minhag, but I think in Yerushalayim, there was an ancient minhag not to do so. Okay, Hadron Alecha Bekol Ma'arv. So we finish now the third perek of Erevin, and we're going to start now in Mirtz Hashem, the last perek of Erevin. So the 10th perek of Erevin is a very fascinating perek. And I promised you, if you remember back when, that if we have time, we'll get to it. Now's the time. We're on Daf Tzadihei, Omid Aleph, on the bottom. The Mishnah says, Hamotzi Tefillin, a person finds a pair of tefillin on Shabbos, in a very open area, like for example, out in a field, outside the city. And it's going to, there's a great chance, or statistical probability, that it'll get lost, it'll get destroyed. And the question now is, how do you carry tefillin that are out in the field into the city, into what's called a makom ha-mishtamer, a place where we can protect the integrity of the tefillin? So the Mishnah records a machlokas between Rabbi Gamliel and the Tanakam. The Tanakam says, Amotzi tefillin machnisan zug zug. In other words, he puts on one pair of tefillin both the Shel Yad and the Shel Rosh, and he brings the tefillin into the city, and he wears them in the same exact way that he would wear it during the weekday, and therefore it has the status of a malbush. And since he's carrying it in a normal way by wearing it, therefore he's allowed to carry it inside in this manner. Then he goes back to get the second pair of tefillin. And once again, the Chachamim say he wears the second pair of tefillin and he carries it back in to the ear. However, he's not allowed to wear both tefillin at the same time. Rav Gamliel omer shnayim shnayim. He could wear two pairs of tefillin simultaneously. In other words, the Chachamim, the Tanakhama, say this is not called Derech Malbush. We wear one pair of tefillin. We don't wear two pairs of tefillin. Rav Gamliel says you can wear two pairs of tefillin, and they can both be worn simultaneously. Shtei tefillin shel rosh b'rosh, or shtei tefillin shel yad b'zro. That's how Rashi interprets it. Fine. Now the Mishnah qualifies. It says, "Bamedvar mamurim." When do we require him to bring these two pairs of tefillin into the city? Biyashanos. In other words, these tefillin have already been used, so there's a kesher. And the Kesher completes the Shin Dalet Yud of the name of God. We have the Shin up on the top of the Tefillin, Shel Rosh, on the outside of the Tefillin, Shel Rosh. We have a Dalet, which is the Kesher Shel Tefillin, on the back of the Tefillin, Shel Rosh, which looks like a Dalet. Again, there's a whole plukta about that, because we don't have our tefillin look like a dalet, but there are those who wear what's called a double dalet. I don't know exactly how they do that, but it seems like that in Galicia, if I'm not mistaken, that was the minute. And then we have the yud, and we have shin dalet yud, and therefore these tefillin are endowed with kedusha. We're not allowed to leave them out there in the field. Derech bizayon. We're afraid of Aveda, they might get destroyed. Abel b'chadashos potur. Now it seems like at the time of the Mishnah, it was quite common to write what's called a kamiya. A kamiya is some sort of a parchment on which various verses and the name of God were inscribed, and they looked a little bit like tefillin, but they are totally devoid of Kedushas Tefillin. And we will not violate the Shabbos in any shape or form, even on an Issa D'Rabbanan, for the sake of saving a Kamiya, which is called Chadashos in the language of the Mishnah. Now, the Mishnah seems to imply here that you have something that looks like Tefillin, but it's not Tefillin. In the case of tefillin, we wear the tefillin to save them, and we consider that a malbush, and therefore he's not violating Shabbos. Apparently, in the case of chadoshos, even though they look identical to tefillin, and therefore you and I would have said that's also a malbush, but since it's devoid of kedusha, therefore it's not a malbush. In other words, it's not the physical wearing of the tefillin that gives it the status of a malbush and allows you to wear them and carry them from a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim into Rosh Hashanah Yochid, because that's not called carrying, that's called wearing clothing. But that's not the physical element of the tefillin, but rather you could have something that looks identical to tefillin, but it's not tefillin. Again, in our context, we could talk about tefillin psulos. Let's say we know for sure that these tefillin are apostle. In the context of the Mishnah, we're talking about chadoshos, which is a kamiya. that looks awfully similar to tefillin, but it's not tefillin. It doesn't have kedushas tefillin, and that is not a malbush. And the question that we have to ask is whether or not we're dealing with d'oraisas or d'rabbanans here. I'm going to assume that we're talking, when it says aval chadoshes patur, what we mean is that we're not going to allow you l'chadchila to wear these tefillin which are not tefillin, but patur, if you did wear them, you would not be in violation of Melech HaShabbos on a d'oraisa level, you'd only be violating a d'rabbanan, because it doesn't have kedushas tefillin. And whatever level of kedusha it might have, maybe it has some sort of level of kedusha because the shemos are written on this kamiya, but nevertheless, we won't violate even an isa d'rabbanan by allowing you to wear these so-called tefillin, which are not tefillin, because on a d'rabbanan level, we're going to say that these are not tefillin, and therefore you're not allowed to carry them by wearing them. Mitzan tzvasim okrichos. If, let's say, we found bundles of tefillin that were tied together, machshich aleihem umevir. In other words, we're talking about a situation where there are so many pairs of tefillin that it's not going to be possible to save them all. So what the Mishnah recommends is that we walk out to the outer bounds of the tchum, wherever these tefillin are found, and we're going to wait there until it gets dark, and then v'mevi'im, then immediately he can carry them all in a bag. Okay, we're going to stop this part of the Mishnah and immediately fast forward to the Gemara, because the second part of the Mishnah is on a whole different plane. What we want to focus on is the machlokes between the Chachamim and Rabbi Gamliel as to whether or not you can wear two pairs of tefillin simultaneously in order to save the tefillin. So the Gemara says the following. According to the Tanakhama, Zug Echad In Tfei Lo. You're only allowed to wear one pair of tefillin at a time, but not two pairs of tefillin. So the Gemara asks, Lema Tanan Stoma Deloka Rabbi Meir. Should we assume that this Mishnah is a Stam Mishnah against Rabbi Meir? As a general rule, we assume that Stam Mishnah is Kirabi Meir, but this is going to be an exception to the rule. And the reason that we know it's an exception to the rule is the Iker Rabbi Meir, HaOmar. Now, this statement of Rabbi Meir was made in a different context, and that is Matzilim Mifnei Adleika B'Shabbos. This is a Mishnah in Masechta Shabbos on Daf Kuf Chaf. And the question now is, if a fire breaks out on Shabbos, and the only way that you can save your possessions from being burnt to the stake is if you bring them into a chatzer, and there's no Erev in the chatzer, so the Mishnah records the following sheet of Rabbi Meir, that Lovesh kol mashiyochel lilbosh v'otev kol mashiyochel latov, that he's allowed to put on one pair of clothes and on top of it another pair of clothes. He can cover himself and surround himself with one talis and another talis, and he can take them all out into the chotzer, wearing them all bivas achas. And we're going to assume, as we'll see the Mishnah, which is a Stam Mishnah, that reflects the sheet of Rabbi Meir. The Mishnah says, Ulasham, and when he takes out his possessions to the chotzer, from his bayis to the chotzer, so what it means is that his house is on fire, Nebuch, and he wants to save whatever he can by taking it out into the chotzer, which you're not allowed to do on Shabbos if there was no Eruv. Is the Mishnah says, motzi kol klei tashmisho velovish kol ma sheyochol lilbos veyotef kol ma sheyochol latov. So there are two parts to this Mishnah. One is called klei tashmisho, and there was a separate heter for whatever he needs during the course of Shabbos, any kind of utensils. He's going to have to eat a suit of Shabbos. He's going to need a fork, a spoon, and a knife, and a plate, and a cup. That he's allowed to carry out from the Daleka, from his house, out into the Chutz. But we're interested in the second part of this Mishnah, and that's Kol Mashiachal Lilbosh, Reotev Kol Mashiachal Latov. All that he's going to take into the Chutz. Now imagine wearing one suit on top of another suit on top of another suit. That's not the normal way that you wear things. But nevertheless, Rabbi Meir is going to allow you this kind of a levisha for the sake of Hatzolus B'gadim. Even though, again, this levisha is eino ragil, it's not the right normal way that we would wear clothing. I mean, when we were kids, we used to read that story, what's it called, with the caps, you know, that he puts one cap on top of the other. But B'gadim, we don't usually wear one on top of the other. And nevertheless, Rabbi Meir allows it. And why? For the sake of Hatzolah. Now we have to save these pairs of tefillin. We have two pairs of tefillin to save. Rabbi Meir would certainly allow you to put two pairs of tefillin on simultaneously, both the Shalyad and the Shalrosh, for the sake of Hatzolah. Even though that's not the normal way you wear tefillin with two pairs. So it must be that our Mishnah, although it's a Stam Mishnah, it would argue and reject Rabbi Meir. Now, how do we know Rabbi Meir holds that motzi kol mashiachal lilbosh, lovesh kol mashal yilbosh? So Gemara says, vehi stoma. Even though the Mishnah doesn't mention any names, so it's a stam Mishnah, anonymous Mishnah, mi maid Rabbi Meir. Maybe we could say that although the general rule is that Stam Mishnah ki Rabbi Meir, we have exceptions. In fact, our Gemara is trying to assume that our Mishnah itself is an exception to the rule of Stam Mishnah ki Rabbi Meir. So maybe that Mishnah is also an exception to the rule. So it could be that Rabbi Meir would actually prohibit wearing two pairs of clothing at the same time. His opinion is expressed in our Mishnah, in the Tanakhama's view that you're not allowed to wear two pairs of tefillin at the same time, even for the sake of saving the tefillin. And the Mishnah that allows you to wear many begadim at the same time, that's not Rabbi Meir, that's somebody else. The Gemara says, no, it's got to be Rabbi Meir. The Ketani Allah, we have a brisa that interprets that Mishnah, Loveshu Motzi Uposhit, Veloveshu Motzi Uposhit, Afilu Kol Ayom, Divrei Rabbi Meir. That Rabbi Meir in the Braisa is quoted as saying that although usually in Hatzolah we allow you one shot, you know, you take what you need and that's it. And that has to do with a Chashash, I think we discussed it once, that if we allow him to go in and out, and save as much as he can, he might come to violate Meleches Mechabe, his bol al mamono, and he might put out the fire. But in the case of Levisha, Rabbi Meir at least is quoted as saying that whatever he could wear, one begadim on top of the other, he takes that into the chatzer, then he strips all that, goes back in for a second round, and he could do this the entire day. But bottom line, we see that the author of our Mishnah in Masechta Shabbos regarding Kol Mashiachal Lilbosh Lovesh is none other than Rabbi Meir. And therefore, since we assume the analogy that Rabbi Meir would certainly allow wearing two pairs of tefillin at the same time, it's no different than wearing two pairs of clothing at the same time. Hence, we have to assume that our Mishnah is a Stam Mishnah that's against Rabbi Meir. Now the Gemara wants to discuss this possibility that maybe our Mishnah could actually be reconciled with Rabbi Meir, and there's a difference between wearing multiple suits and wearing multiple tefillin. Omar Rav, afilu teme Rabbi Meir, we can reconcile the two Mishnayos, and in the case of Hatzolas, levush, malbush, he can wear many begodim at the same time. But in the case of tefillin, to save the tefillin, he cannot wear two pairs of tefillin at the same time. Hasam over there, derech malbusho, is kechol shavye rabbanon. The rabbanon were willing to be matir hatzola as long as it's somewhat derech malbusho, even though it's not really derech malbusho, it's not the regilus, it's not the common way of wearing clothing, one pair of clothing on top of the other, but it's still considered derech malbush, and the rabbanon are going to be mekil. In the case of Hatzola, they're going to be lenient, they're going to allow you to treat it like chol, so to speak, as long as it's derech malbusha. Which means that although there might be a problem in Rabbanon, because this is not really derech malbush, but the Rabbanon are going to rely on the fact that it could be derech malbush. Like, for example, let's say it was very cold outside, right, in a freezing a Canadian winter, right? So you're bundling up one, if that's what you have, one garment on top of the other. You know, you wear 25 scarves. So it does have a certain within the parameters of Levisha. And therefore, they're going to consider it Kiderech Malbusho. And they're going to make Shabbos into a Yom Chol, so to speak, to allow wearing anything that could be in the broader parameters, derech malbush. But hacha, with regard to saving tefillin, is derech malbusho kechol shavyu rabbanon. The chachamim, once again, are going to apply the same rule, because again, Rav is trying to reconcile our Mishnah with Rabbi Meir. And you could save the tefillin derech malbusho, and Shabbos is going to be like chol, and they're going to be matar atzol and Shabbos. Any levisha that could be feasible during chol, we're going to allow it on Shabbos. And hasam, in the case of atzol's begodim, dibachol kama deboy lovish, that if it was not Shabbos, a person would be allowed to wear many different begodim, as many as he could, if it was chol, is linyan atzol nami shor li rabbanon. And therefore, since we're making Shabbos and equating it with chol, as far as atzol is concerned, we're allowed to carry as many begodim if we wear them, even though that's not the normal way of wearing them, but he could wear them on chol, and the rabbanon are going to make Shabbos, as far as atzol is concerned, like chol. And just like on Chol, he could wear many begodim, so too, on Shabbos, for the sake of Atzola, he could wear many begodim. But here, in the case of Atzola's tefillin, the Bechol nami zug echad in tfe lo, we would not wear, even on a weekday, more than one pair of tefillin, because the Torah commanded us to wear tefillin, and the Torah commanded us not to violate Bal Tosif and add another pair of tefillin. The Torah says one pair of tefillin is enough and allowed, but not two pairs of tefillin. Is tefei lo? So even on a weekday, we would not be allowed to wear two pairs of tefillin. Is therefore in Yenat Solanami, even if we were to equate Shabbos with Chol for the sake of Hatzol, as we did in the case of Malbush, but at least in Malbush, you could wear many begodim, one on top of the other simultaneously on a weekday. So we're going to allow Shabbos for the sake of Hatzola to be considered like a weekday and do what you would do and wear them as you would wear them perhaps on a weekday. Do it on Shabbos like you would on a weekday. But in the case of tefillin, Rava argues, even on a weekday we would not have an allowance to wear more than one pair of tefillin at the same time because the Torah says Bal Tosif. Is there tefillin in Hatzola Nami, even for the sake of Hatzola when we consider Shabbos to be like Chol for the sake of Atzolah, but on Chol we would not be allowed to wear two pairs of tefillin in Zug Echad in Tfeilo. The Tanakhama would hold that you're only allowed to wear one pair of tefillin, and that's what you could wear during Chol, and that's called Derech Levisha. But more than that, even for the sake of Atzolah, we cannot allow you because you would not be allowed to wear two pairs of tefillin even on Chol. And I want to just quote to you the Taras Chaim, who summarizes this sugya, and he says, Zui mitzvah, so the mitzvah of tefillin is to wear one pair of tefillin. V'eino reshoi laosif od zug tefillin. Mishnum iser baltosif. Shenemer batorah, es kol dover asher enochi mitzaves chem oso tishmru lasos, lo tosif olav. So now, the Tana of our Mishnah holds that Shabbos is considered Malbush and we're allowed to wear tefillin on Shabbos. But only one pair of tefillin, not two. And here we have an overlap of two different halachic principles that explain what you're allowed to do to save tefillin according to the Tanakh, and what you're not allowed to do to save tefillin. You're allowed to wear one pair of tefillin to save tefillin because this is considered a malbush even on Shabbos. And the Keren Ora, one of the great achronim, explains Rashi here. And Belineder tomorrow will try to go through the Rashis inside. But Rashi Shita is that according to the Tana of our Mishnah, Shabbos is called Zman Tefillin. Again, this is going to be a sugya right here in Masechta Erevin. The main sugya of whether Shabbos is Zman Tefillin or Lav Zman Tefillin is right here in the next Amud, I should say the next blot of Gemara, Daf Tzadi Vav. And we're now holding in our Mishnah that wearing tefillin is called a malbush on Shabbos because Shabbos Zman Tefillin. That's going to explain why we're allowed to wear tefillin to save the tefillin on Shabbos. It's not called a malbush. We're not carrying the tefillin. We're wearing the tefillin because we are fulfilling the mitzvah of tefillin. However, once he wants to put on a second pair of tefillin, not only is he going to be lacking the mitzvah of tefillin, but moreover, he violates the Isra of Baltosif. I would say it the other way around. Again, I'm not here to argue against the Taras Chaim, but I think the real pshat in the Taras Chaim is that since two pairs of tefillin is a violation of Baltosif, therefore that negates and undermines the mitzvah. Once you undermine the mitzvah, you're left with anything but a malbush. And you are being masa, you're carrying the tefillin. So let me read to you the Taras Chaim inside. He says, Hatana Sheshona es Mishosenu Sover Sheshavas Man Tfilinu Ayin Lahalon, he says, Daf Tzadivov Vahov Anachosin Hi Mitzvah Gam Below Tzorech Hatzola Manichim Tfilin B'Shavas. Even if he wasn't trying to save the Tfilin, he'd be allowed to wear the Tfilin. And here he adds three words, Hei Nechshavos Takshit. Okay, instead of a Malvush, he used the word Takshit. Now the Chachamim are not going to allow you to wear tefillin in Rishus HaRabim, even if you hold Shabbos Man tefillin. The Osru Chachamim Zos, Shema Yichaltzeim, the Avireim Arbamas Rishus HaRabim. They were always afraid that if you wear tefillin in Rishus HaRabim, you might be tempted to take them off at some point for whatever reason, and carry them four amos in Rishus HaRabim by hand. However, Litzorech HaTzolosan, in order to save the tefillin, because of the Kedushas tefillin that we discussed earlier, Bizoyon tefillin, Hitiru Lachnison Al Yidei HaNechosom, they allowed taking the tefillin through Rishus HaRabim back into a Rishus HaYochid for the protection of the tefillin, even though normally that would be Osimid Rabbanon, but only because Shabbos Man Tefillin. And that makes it into a Malbush. He says, Ayin Marsha, she'efshal hasbir es rava af ibn omashatanis over Shabbos lavzman tefillin. The Marsha disagrees with the Keren Ora, who interprets Rashi as assuming that our sugya and our Tanakama is based on the fact that Shabbos is man tefillin, and the Marsha has a different approach. Now, what if he wears two pairs of tefillin? So that's considered a violation of Baal Tosef. That's what we said before in the name of the Torah Chaim. If it's Baal Tosef, then he negates the mitzvah, and Memel it's not called a Malbush. By the way, he doesn't mention this, but there's a very famous Minchas Chinuch who says that if you wear shoes in Rosh Hashanah on Yom Kippur, leather shoes, you violate the Isser Otzah, because it's not called a Malbush, because the Torah doesn't allow you to wear shoes on Yom Kippur. But anyway, you see that Malbush and Tachshit are concepts that are very much depend upon the Halacha. They're abstract concepts. And when you wear the second pair of tefillin, you now negate even the first pair of tefillin, according to Rosh Chaim, because you have violated Baal Tosef. And therefore you cannot consider it as a mitzvah of wearing tefillin. And we're going now according to the Man Yom, who says Shabbos Man Tefillin. So when you wear one pair of tefillin, that's called a malbush, but not two. And now, he quotes the Marsha. The Marsha says, okay, we might not be able to get through the Marsha, maybe we'll start it a little bit, but let's just make a note that we're up to Rav Gamliel Omer Shnayim Shnayim. He says, Yecholim oye lahatir af yosu bizug echon, ki gamim meniach shnei zugos v'yotzi moem, nechshav derech malbush v'ein boze isu shel Torah. He says that, even if you hold that Shabbos eino zman tefillin, and wearing them is not a mitzvah on Shabbos, nevertheless, wearing tefillin is called derech malbush. In addition, he rejects the other premise of the Torah Chaim, and he says, "Ein boze iser bal tosif." And this the Marsha proves from a Gemara later on. Aval chachamim sheitiru lahachdis atfilin derech shesaram b'shvil atzalosan, he tiru zos rak kiderech hanachosim b'chol. So Marsha says that although Shabbos loves man tefillin, but nevertheless, we're going to be matir wearing tefillin on Shabbos, not because of the mitzvah, but because since on a day of Chol, it would be considered malbush because of the mitzvah of Chol, therefore on Shabbos, it's also considered malbush. And that's what we saw already in the case of begadim, that you're allowed to be matzil many begadim, even though normally that would be prohibited, because it's not the real derech malbush, not normal, but because on chol he could do it that way, and he would wear more than one malbush, therefore it's considered malbush as far as Shabbos is concerned. He could take multi, you know, suits at the same time, and we're going to suspend the Isur d'Rabbanan for the sake of Atzola. Therefore, in the case of wearing tefillin in Rosh Hashanah on Shabbos, which is only an Issur d'Rabbanan, we're going to be lenient for the sake of Atzola's tefillin if we can match the Malbush of Chol. Says the Marsha that the Malbush of Chol is to wear one pair of tefillin. Not because of Baal Tosef, because that's the way you wear tefillin. You wear tefillin normally, one pair of tefillin. So the chachamim sheitiru lahachdis is at tefillin derech shesarabim b'shvil hatzola, hitiru zos rak kederech hanachosim b'chol. We look towards the weekday and we ask, is that called a malbush or not? Are there situations in which we would do it in that way, we would wear many garments, many cloaks at the same time, and would we wear tefillin on chol? And the answer is yes. We would wear tefillin. But we would only wear tefillin the way the mitzvah tefillin is given to us, to wear one pair at a time. And therefore, we're only going to allow you on Shabbos to do what would be considered the derech malbush on chol, and the derech malbush of tefillin on chol is to wear one pair of tefillin. Again, we're not up to Rabbi Gamliel yet, but just in terms of the Tanakama, we have a whole new perspective on the Tanakama according to the Marsha. Before the Marsha, we were learning like the Torah Chaim that there would be an Iser Bal Tosef if he wears two pair of tefillin. And therefore the Iser would negate the mitzvah, which, as we saw in the Keren Or, it's the mitzvah that makes it into a malbush. And we're holding now that Shabbos man tefillinu. So he does get a mitzvah when he wears one pair of tefillin on Shabbos. The Rabbanan prohibited wearing this pair of tefillin in Rishus HaRabim because he might come to carry it to Al Ramos, but they suspended, or shall I say, mitigated that Isur Rabbanan for the sake of Hatzolah. But that's only true because it's a malbush. What makes it a malbush, says the Keren Ora, and he bases himself on Rashi, the fact that he has a mitzvah of tefillin because we're holding Shabbos man tefillin. And now we have the Torah Chaim that if he were to wear two pairs of tefillin, he would undermine both tefillins through the Iser of Bal Tosef. Hence, he's left without any mitzvah at all, and it's not a malbush. The Marsha, on the other hand, has a whole different approach to the Tanakama. He's assuming that Shabbos loves man tefillin. He's not going to introduce Bal Tosef. The whole discussion can be reduced to one concept and one concept only, and that's Derech Malbush. Is it Derech Malbush? And the answer is it's Derech Malbush because on Chol it would be considered advisable and obligatory. And since on Chol we wear the Derech Malbush is to wear one pair of tefillin and not more, therefore on Shabbos we're going to equate it to Chol and it becomes the Derech Malbush, but that's only if he wears one pair of tefillin. Once it becomes Derech Malbush, the Rabbanu could now overlook and permit that Gzera, which normally would prohibit you from wearing tefillin in Rishus HaRam on Shabbos, for the sake of Hatzolos HaTefillin, they're going to permit it, but only on the condition that he's wearing the tefillin in a way that's called Derech Malbush, and that's going to be one pair of tefillin. Again, that one pair of tefillin, even though Shabbos loves man tefillin, because the standard of Derech Malbush is defined by what he would wear during the Chol, and if he'd wear it during the Chol, ipso facto, that makes it Derech Malbush. But, says the Marsha, the Derech Chol is to wear one pair of tefillin and fulfill the mitzvah of one pair of tefillin and not two pairs of tefillin. So that's the machlokas here between, I put it on the Torah Chaim and the Keren Ora on one side of the equation and the Marsha on the other side of the equation. So here's we're going to stop for today. We're here on Daf Tzadihei Omid Beis, and we are up to Rabbi Gamliel Omer Shnayim Shnayim, which is the two dots that parallel Tosis Dibra Maschil Makom, and it's halfway down Tzadihei Omid Beis. And the reason why we were able to cover so much ground is because I owe you half the Mishnah. But that half of the Mishnah is a separate topic that we'll cover when we get past the sugyas of tefillin. So this promises to be a very beautiful perek. That's what I heard through the grapevine. For me, it's the first time around. I don't know if you've learned this perek before. And there are many yesodos in this perek that are shas yesodos, that go way beyond the confines of Masechta Erevin. So Mr. Shem will continue tomorrow, and I'll take this opportunity to wish you a great day. So we're going to stop here on Daf Tzadihei Omid Beis at the two dots of Rabbi Gamliel Omer, which is parallel to Tosus, one line below Tosus, Ramaskel Mokum. We'll pick that up in Ritz Hashem tomorrow.